If you want to turn to the 23rd Psalm, we're going to be looking at that Psalm. It's one that's probably quite familiar to most of us. It's perhaps, other than maybe John 3:16, one of the most memorized and best known passages in the Scriptures. But this morning, I want us to look at it in a little bit of a different light than perhaps we've ever considered it before. Our lesson this morning is the eternal house guest. We're studying this week about love, and in connection with that is hospitality, showing our love to others. How do we show others that we love them? How do we show God that we love Him? Well, one of the ways that Jesus said that we could show our love for Him was by showing love for one another. He said that was one of the ways that people would know we were His disciples. But we want to look at the 23rd Psalm and consider the way that God looks at the love and hospitality. He's our example in so many things. Jamie talked about with the Lord's Supper this morning, His love that sent Jesus, that gave His Son for us so that we could have eternal life. And it is His love that is the pattern for all of us. We need to learn from Him. We'll read this only 6 verses in our Bibles. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you read that 23rd Psalm, what do you think about? Do you think about God's love? Do you think of Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Do you think of God's providence, His comfort? Or do you think about us as being His sheep? All of those things certainly are in there. But as you've read that psalm, have you ever considered hospitality? I don't think hospitality is the first thing that comes to mind with this psalm. It certainly wasn't for me. In fact, if this topic had not been recommended, suggested, and even commanded of me on another occasion, I would have never considered hospitality in connection with this psalm. So I read it over and over again, trying to think hospitality thoughts as I was looking at it. And as I did, I noticed that the first line says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That makes me His sheep. That's okay. But then I got to thinking about what hospitality usually means to us. And hospitality usually involves having someone over to your home and maybe preparing a meal for them. And I got to thinking, you know, if He's the shepherd and I'm the sheep and He's having somebody over for dinner, I'm not in a very good position. I wouldn't want to be the sheep when someone else is coming over for dinner. Leg of lamb was a very common meal back then. But then as I looked at it a little closer, I realized that this particular shepherd's a little different because he's not inviting someone else in to feast on his sheep. Instead, he is actually showing his hospitality to his sheep. And so as we look at it a little closer, we can see that these sheep are more than just the shepherd's livelihood in Psalm 23. They're actually his guests. So let's turn our attention to 3 things as we look at this psalm. First, let's turn our attention to how we define and practice love and hospitality. Again, we usually, when we think about showing love for someone, we think maybe of buying them a gift, giving them something. We think about hospitality. We may think about buying someone dinner or inviting them to a fellowship meal like we're going to have tonight. We might think about inviting someone over to our house and having dinner. We may think about letting a family member have a bed for the night. And think of that as hospitality. Maybe we'd go even further than that. Maybe we would let a fellow Christian have a bed for the night. And we say, well, I'm just super hospitable to let them stay in my house overnight. Maybe even if there was a preacher coming in for a gospel meeting, we'd call and book the hotel for him as long as we didn't have to pay for it and the church was going to pay for it. And we think we're being really hospitable by doing those things. But is that how God sees it? That's certainly some of the ways we think about it. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Fish and guests both stink after 3 days." And we kind of feel that way a lot of times, don't we? Somebody tells you, oh, we're happy to see them come, but we're even happier to see them go when it's time for them to leave. This is really the epitome of the American attitude toward hospitality. It's not just a modern thing. This was something Benjamin Franklin lived back at the founding of our country, and that's the way he felt about it back then. You don't want somebody staying around too long. Well, see, this is really a bad attitude toward hospitality. This isn't the attitude that God wants us to have. And we'll look at that more deeply when we see God's example of hospitality and what He truly wants us to be like. Let's turn our attention now quickly to the structure of the psalm. Because as we look at this, we don't think it has anything to do with hospitality except perhaps at the end when it talks about preparing a table and dwelling in the house. That, and all the rest of nothing else has anything to do with being hospitable. But the fact of the matter, the entire psalm deals with God's hospitality toward us. Now, if you pay attention as we go through there, it may seem like these are almost two separate psalms. The first three verses, the first half, seems to be very different from the second half. In the first half, it talks about He, the Lord, He. But in the second half, He doesn't say He anymore. He says you, or thou in the King James Version. You have prepared a table. He directly addresses the Lord in the second half of this psalm. Well, that seems a little odd to us. We have six verses in our book of Psalms. We have to, in our 23rd Psalm, rather. We have to remember, though, when David wrote these Psalms, he didn't write them with the verses that we now have. He wrote them his way. And I think it probably would have been more proper if this particular psalm had been broken up into only two verses. The first half being one, where he uses the terms He, and he's talking in the third person. And then the second verse being the latter half, where he turns his attention to God specifically. And the reason for that is it's very common in Psalms for one verse to use the third person and the second verse or a third verse or a different verse or even the chorus sometimes to turn and use a second person. We have several songs like that in our songbook. Far and Near is one, for example, that the second verse speaks of sending them, which would be the third person, but then in the third verse it addresses the person who's being sent as thou. And the chorus addresses the Lord of harvest, send forth reapers. And so within that one song, you have somebody talking in the third person, yeah, we sing in the second person talking to you, and then we also talk to the Lord. All in that one song, just different sections, different verses. And so it wouldn't be uncommon for David to have done the same thing in his psalm. So we need to keep that in mind. Now, let's look at the heart of the matter. Let's turn our attention to how God defines and practices love and hospitality. How does He show it? Because He is our example. We're going to notice here in Psalm 23 several things that a good host provides. We're going to spend a lot of time on each one. We just want to note this. You think, well, there's only six verses. How many things could there be in there? I've only got about 20. But we're going to look at the things a good host does to show hospitality. First of all, a good host provides for all needs. I don't know if you've ever experienced going to stay somewhere and not having the things you needed taken care of. Maybe you got there and there weren't sheets on the bed that you're supposed to sleep on. You say, well, this doesn't seem quite right. Maybe you weren't told where the bathroom was. And that's kind of important. I didn't know that in the middle of the night. There may have been some things you needed and weren't provided, but a good host provides for all the needs. Notice, as he says there in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All my needs are supplied. There is nothing that I want. Now that tells us, if the Lord actually does provide all our needs, then anything else that we want is really just a selfish desire. It's not something that's necessary for us. In America, we've got plenty of wants. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." All your needs. Secondly, a good host provides rest. He says there, "He makes me lie down." Jesus said, "Come all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, you don't want to go as a guest to someone's house and get there and then have to be working all the time. Well, I'm having to cook, I'm having to wash the dishes and clean up, and I'm not the guest. Guests don't have to do those things. Now, after a while, when you go somewhere often enough, they start to say, well, we don't even think of you as a guest anymore. You're part of the family. Guess what that means? It's time for you to do some chores. But when you're a guest, you don't have to work. You get to rest. He makes me lie down. Then the third thing we notice is that a good host provides the best. Now, in this case, of course, we're talking about sheep. So what he provides for the sheep as a good shepherd is green pastures. Now, most of us probably wouldn't be too thrilled if we went to visit someone and they said, "Oh, look, I've got this nice green pasture for you." I don't know. You boys sleep in a green pasture last night? Was that where you... No, did you have to sleep under trees with roots under the ground? Was it uncomfortable? All right, well. But you know, a green pasture might not be the greatest thing for us. But we would like a nice soft bed. How about it? Wouldn't we? You know, give up our bed? Let them have the comfortable bed? Well, if our bed's the comfortable one anyway. But sometimes we're not willing to give the best. The story is told that Queen Victoria one time got caught in a downpour. And she knocked on the first house. She was clothed in disguise. She knocked on the first house and said, "Can I borrow an umbrella? I'll bring it back tomorrow." And the lady didn't know who it was and was, well, I guess I went and dug around and found one that was half broken and brought it to her and gave it to her. The next day, the Queen had sent the umbrella back with the messenger with a note saying, "The Queen thanks you for the use of your umbrella." And the woman said, "That was the Queen? If I had known, I would have given her the best." Well, why would we give one person the best, but not someone else? Well, see, God gives us the best. He doesn't hold back. We think about that. What did we talk about? He sent the best of heaven. He didn't just send one of the angels. He sent His own Son. He sent the best. You give the best when you're a good host. A good host provides for the thirst of his guest. He provided still waters. He leads me by still waters. Now, I mean, for a sheep, that's as good as it gets. Water is the one thing that really quenches your thirst. You can drink coffee and Coke and tea, but oh, that water, that's what really quenches the thirst a lot of times. John 4 and verse 14, Jesus says, Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus gives us living water, not just the liquid water to drink physically, but spiritual water. A good host provides spiritually as well as physically. It says there, He restores my soul. Sometimes we need some spiritual uplifting. Sometimes we need some encouragement. And certainly a good host can provide that as well as just a physical place to rest. Philemon 1:20, Paul talking to Philemon says, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of you in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." Acts 3:19 tells us that to repent and be converted so that our sins may be blotted out. And it says, then times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. There are times we need to be refreshed. And our soul needs some uplifting encouragement. The sixth thing we want to notice is that a good host provides a godly example to follow. He says, He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads in paths of righteousness. He doesn't just push you down the path or say, oh, it's over there. He leads the way. A good host doesn't lead his guests into sinfulness or sinful activities, but into righteous activities. John 13:15, Jesus says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus gave us a good, righteous example to follow. Then we also notice that a good host provides protection. He says, I will fear no evil. Psalm 94:22, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And Zechariah 12:8 says, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. He's going to have strength. He's going to have protection. He's going to protect even the feeble among His sheep. Isn't that good news for us? Because sometimes we're that feeble one. But then a good host also provides companionship. Now, it's good for them to provide some of the physical things, but isn't it nice to have a friend, too, when you're at someone's house? Companionship. You are with me. The host didn't leave them alone. Didn't just say, oh, yeah, well, go ahead, go stay there. I'm not going to be there, though. That, you know, we enjoy that sometimes, to be able to have a place, even if, but to be with someone, to have that companionship. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus promised us He'll always be with us. Always. We may be completely alone of human companionship, but we're never alone if we're with Jesus. He'll be with us always. And then, oddly enough, we see that the good host provides structure, stability, and help. He mentions the rod and staff comforting him. Well, the rod was used both to defend the sheep and also to discipline the sheep. If one of them got out of the way, got out of line, he had to be back to get back in line. The rod's important, but also the staff. The staff was used to help sheep out of a difficult situation. Sometimes the sheep might fall into a little canyon area, and the shepherd might get there with his long staff that had that hook on it, that shepherd's crook, and he'd reach down there and hook that lamb under the shoulders and pull him back up out of that little canyon that he'd fallen into, out of that little hole that he had fallen into. And so the rod and the staff, there is a set of rules. There's discipline there. You can't just act any kind of way just because you're the guest. You still have to abide by rules. There's structure and stability, but there's also help when it's needed. Physical nourishment and service is also provided. He says, you prepare a table. And in Genesis 18:6-8, Abraham had the unique opportunity to actually prepare a meal for the Lord. Not many ever had that opportunity. He didn't know who those three strangers were as they were coming up, but he prepared a meal for them. Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah and said, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes on the hearth. And Abraham ran to the herd and fetched a calf, a tender and good one, gave it to the young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And can you just picture him as the waiter standing there, just waiting. Is there anything else you need? Just let me know. Notice he didn't even eat himself. He stood by the tree and watched them eat. What a host. Abraham is a good example for us there. But then also we notice that a good host provides comfort in the midst of discomfort. He says, that table was prepared in the presence of my enemies. How comfortable could you be sitting down to eat with your enemies all around you? And you know, that's what sheep do. There are lions and bears and wolves, coyotes, wild dogs out there all the time. And yet the sheep doesn't pay them any mind because the sheep's trusting the shepherd to take care of them. And we need to do the same thing. Revelation 3:9, he says eventually he's going to make your enemies, if you'll be faithful to him, to come and worship before your feet, he says in Revelation 3:9. And to know that I have loved you. Then we want to notice also that the good host provides for the good health and hygiene of guests. He says, you anoint my head with oil. That's not a common practice. We usually, if we have oily hair, we think it needs washed. But back in that day, olive oil poured on the head was a good thing. In Luke 7 and verse 46, one of the things that Jesus reprimands one of the hosts who was hosting him for was he said, you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. He said, you didn't do something that was a common practice in that day. We had a young lady came and spent the night with Abigail a week or so ago, and one of the things, it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. We weren't planning for her to spend the night, but when she decided she was going to spend the night, we thought, well, she didn't have a toothbrush. We had to see if we had a spare extra toothbrush, a new one. You know, we didn't want to give her an old one. Well, we had to get her a toothbrush so she could brush her teeth, you know. But you have to think about those things. What about the good health and hygiene of your guests? And then we notice that the good host gives generously. I'm kind of guilty of being stingy sometimes. I hold back. I don't want them I want that. But we've got to be generous. He says, my cup runs over. You see, he didn't just give him a fourth of a cup or a half of a cup or 3/4 of a cup. He filled it full. See, God's not stingy with his giving. He's generous. And the good host is generous. John 10:10-11, Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Think about the lengths to which he's willing to go to protect those sheep and give them something good. Give it abundant life. And then the good host gives some for the road. You know, usually there comes a time when well, we have to say goodbye. And the good host gives something for the road. Well, you need a sandwich for down the road so you don't have to stop and buy something. You know, do you need some water bottles filled so you can take them with you to drink on the way? What do you need? He says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's how much God gives. Till it's overflowing and then gives us more for the road to make it all the way through all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. not just goodness and mercy for tomorrow or for a week, but for my whole life. That's an amazing generosity. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." His rich mercy. And then, we finally notice here that the good host provides beyond all expectations. Notice what he says there at the end. "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Not only did he provide for me all the days of my life, but then when that's over, I get to be in his house forever. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd want a guest in my house forever. That gets to be a little too long. John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also." Now that's a host. Not just, "Well, it's been 3 days, you stink, get out." That was Benjamin Franklin's idea. A guest after 3 days. Tired of them, sick of them. Aren't we glad that God's not that kind of a host? We'll go to heaven and get to stay a few days and then He gets tired of us and kicks us out? That wouldn't be very good. But no, we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, the Christian's love and hospitality should be more like God's and less like Benjamin Franklin's attitude. You know, Nathan, in talking to King David, described a man who treated his lamb like a child. The lamb slept in the bed with him, it ate at the table with him, all it. It was just a lamb, but he treated it like it was his own child. Some people have dogs like that now, or cats, or maybe squirrels. Some people treat animals like they're their children, don't they? Well, there was a man who treated his lamb like that. Nathan tells this story to David in 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 4. Well, you know, God does that for us. We're His sheep, but He doesn't treat us like sheep. He doesn't make us sleep outside. He lets us sleep inside with Him. He's willing to be with us and around us. I don't know about you, animals, they kind of get smelly, you know, you don't be around them too much. But God doesn't mind the sheep smell. We need to think about it. What changes do we need to make in our lives to be more loving and hospitable like God is? What changes do we need to make in our lives so that the Lord is our shepherd? The Lord is not everyone's shepherd. There are some out there who will not accept a shepherd. They won't have anything to do with one. They want to do it their own way. They want to be in charge of their own life. They want to be a wild animal instead of a tame sheep. But we have to be the Lord's sheep if we want to be allowed into His house forever. He's not going to let the wolves in. He's not going to let the devil's children in. He's not going to let the lions and the bears in. No, only the sheep. Are there changes in your life you need to make? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Are you one of His sheep? The Bible tells us that if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if upon that belief we're willing to repent of our sins, those violations of God's law, and if in addition to repenting of our sins, we're willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, do those things, and then be willing to submit to one more commandment, to be baptized, to wash our sins away. It doesn't do any good to repent of the sin if we don't get rid of it. We've got to wash it off. God's not in the dry cleaning business. He believes in using water to wash sin away. But it's not really the water, it's the blood of Jesus that does the washing. That's why God sent His Son. to die on that cross, to shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven. If you haven't done that, you need to do that today. What are you waiting for? Don't you want to enjoy all of the things that that good host, the shepherd, the Lord, provides for His sheep? Don't you want to enjoy those things? I know I do. If you've done those things, but perhaps you haven't been living like a good sheep should, maybe you've wandered off. Sheep have a tendency to do that. If you've wandered away from the Lord, maybe it's time to come back into His fold so that you can enjoy the benefits of Him as your shepherd. If you have a need to respond this morning, please do so as we stand and as we sing.